For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's October 24th. We are in Treyasur in Hosea in the third parak, chapter 3. This is a short parak, but we'll see that it's going to cover a lot of issues which we're going to discuss. So remember that Hosea began with Hosea being told to marry a woman who was not trustworthy and to have children from her. And that was to make a point, as we've mentioned the past two times, to make a point that that even though we Jews were unfaithful to Hashem, Hashem is not willing to let us go. And then Hosea said divrei tanchumen, he said words of comfort to Klal Yisrael, we should do tshuva, and Hashem will take us back. So now we have a new commandment from Hashem. Now, it's important to emphasize that the story in the first parak that discusses Hosea marrying a woman who is not trustworthy, who had been a prostitute, Chazal tell us that it's literal. Even though there are mefarshim who want to say that it's only allegorical, but the Gemara says it's literal. Rashi says right in the beginning of Hosea that it is actually what happened. He was told to do that. Now here we have a similar commandment from Hashem. Now we're going to read it. We're going to read it literally, and we'll see how to understand it. Hashem said to me more. Lech ahav isha ahuvas reya umina ofes. Go and love a woman who is loved by her beloved, meaning by her husband or by somebody, umina ofes, but then she commits adultery. She's a woman again who's unfaithful. Ka'avas Hashem es b'nei Yisrael, just as Hashem has loved the b'nei Yisrael, v'him ponim el Elohim acherim, but they turn to other gods, v'ho'avei ashishei anavim, and they love goblets of wine. So, just as the Jews are beloved by Hashem, which in this relationship represents the husband, and we Jews are unfaithful and turn to other gods, and we love, it says goblets of wine, which represents taiva, which represents the desires of this world. So too, Hosea is to love a woman who is beloved by her beloved, but she herself is unfaithful. The question is, what does that mean exactly? If he is to love her, he doesn't say to have any kind of relationship with her, meaning any physical relationship with her. It just seems to be an emotional thing. So we'll talk about that presently.
It's the second time now?
This is a different thing. Oh. Right. So it seems. Now that's not a problem. A man can have more than one wife. But still, it doesn't say to marry her. It doesn't say to have a physical relationship. With the first one, Hashem said to have children with her. Here, it just seems to be an emotional thing. You should have emotions for this woman. That's what it seems to be saying. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Va'ekreha li, and I acquired her for me. Seems like he worked on courting her. So I acquired her to me. Bachamisha asar kesef, with 15 pieces of silver. V'chomer sorim, and a chomer of barley. Chomer is 30 sa, which is a very large amount of barley. V'lesech Sa'orim, and also a lesach of sa'orim. Lesach is half of a chomer. So a chomer and a half of sa'orim. It's an enormous amount of barley. Va'omari leha, and I said to her, Yamim rabim teishvi li, for many days you should stay with me. Lo sizni, do not be promiscuous. V'lo sihi li'ish, and do not be to a man. V'gamani elayich, and I also will be to you. You should, in other words, don't act the way you've been acting, but you should be faithful to me and I to you. Ki yamim rabim yeshu b'nei Yisrael, because for many days the Jews will dwell. Ein melech vein sar, without a king, without a leader. Vein zavach vein matseva, and no sacrifices and no altar. Vein ephod usurafim, and no ephod. An ephod would refer to the Urim v'tumim, to the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Usirafim refers to idols. This pasuk is contradictory in and of itself. It seems like it's jumping back and forth between what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. A melech is what we normally have as a king. We don't normally have a sar, although a sar I wouldn't say is inappropriate. But then you have zevach and matseva. Zevach refers to a sacrifice, which is normally appropriate. Matseva is not appropriate. We do not use a matseva. Matseva connotes an altar that is made of one stone. We don't do that. And ephod is the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Terafim is idols. Achar yashuvu b'nei Yisrael, afterwards the Jews will return. Uvikshu es Hashem Elokeihem, and they will seek out Hashem their God. Ve'is David malkam, and David their king. Ufachadu el Hashem, and it literally means they will fear to Hashem, but it means that they will serve Hashem, ve'al tuvo, in His goodness, ve'acharis hayomim, in the end of days. Even reading the psukim literally, it's very hard to understand how it works. That here he was commanded to love this woman. It says that I then acquired her. It sounds like he courted her. And then I said to her, be faithful. The next two psukim, Dalet and Hey, 4 and 5, don't seem to follow. For many days the Jews will be without all of these things, and then they will return to Hashem. Perhaps it just means that this is symbolic. This woman who has been unfaithful is like the Jews have been unfaithful, and there will be a period of time when we will have nothing, although you don't see that in the case of this woman. You don't have a period of time where she has nothing, and then we will return to Hashem. So here, going back to the beginning of this perek, this five pasuk perek, here you do not find that Chazal say that this is literal. Here, it appears that this is actually allegorical, meaning that Hashem is telling Hosea to tell the Jews something and using the mashal of a man who loves a woman who is unfaithful. And the mashal here is spelled out. Hashem is telling Hosea what it means. There's no secrets over here. He says to him, the way the Targum Yonason says, is that Hashem told me to prophesy for the Jewish people and to tell them they are similar. The Jews are compared to a woman who is loved by her beloved, yet she is unfaithful. Just as Hashem has loved the Bnei Yisrael, and they turn to other gods, and they love goblets of wine. And so this parak, it appears, is not literal. Even though the Targum, the same Targum I just read to you, Targum Yonason, also explains the first parak to be allegorical rather than literal, and we know Chazal tell us it is literal, we're to take it literally, so which means there is an allegorical part to it also, as in all Nevuah, but the story is literal. Here, Chazal do not say that it is literal. And it appears from the fact that Hashem is immediately explaining everything based on His experience with us, it seems that this part is actually not literal. So it was not that Hosea was told to love a different woman besides that first one, to marry that first one, but here to love this different woman, and this woman would be unfaithful. But rather, he is supposed to convey this to the Jewish people, that this is the way we have been behaving. When it says, Va'ekreha li, and I acquired her to me, in Pasuk Beis, so Rashi explains this Pasuk referring to Hashem and the Jewish people, not to Hosea and this woman, but rather it is supposed to be analogous because it is referring to how Hashem acquired us. How Hashem acquired us. So the way the Targum says it is as follows. We're going to have a few different ways of explaining this Pasuk. I acquired her to me. This is Hashem speaking. I acquired the Jewish people to me. B'chamisha asar, on the 15th. When is that?
Oh, Pesach.
Pesach, on the 15th of Nisan. Kasef, and with silver, that refers to the half shekel that we gave, that Hashem acquired us to him on the 15th of Nisan with the mitzvah also of the half shekel. V'chomer seorim v'lesach seorim refers to what's on the second day of Pesach that involves barley.
The omer.
The omer, referring to the omer. And I said to her, Pasagimo v'omar ela, I said to her, Yomi rabim teishvi li, many days dwell with me, referring to waiting until the getting of the Torah. Lo sizni v'lo si li'ish, don't be to anybody else. V'gam ani eloyich, and then I will also be with you, and that refers to the Aseres Hadibros, to the getting of the Torah on in Sivan. There is another way of explaining it within the same general approach, but this is a little bit more specific. So it goes as follows. Again, it starts off with the number 15. Va'ekrel li b'chamisha asar kaseh, 15 silver coins. Then it says v'chomer seorim v'lesach seorim. Now, as I pointed out to you, that a chomer is 30 sa'ah. A sa'ah is a typical measurement for grain. It's a large measurement for grain. A kor or a chomer is a very large. It's 30 of those, 30 sa'ah. And a lesach is half of that, is 15 sa'ah. So we have the number 15. Then we have the numbers 30 and 15. And then we have yamim rabim. So Rashi explains. He took us out on the 15th of Nisan. Then 50 days later, we receive the Torah. So if you take Chomer, which is 30, because Chomer is 30 Sa, plus Lesech, which is 15, that's 45. And then in the next Pasuk, and I said to her, Yomim Rabim. Yomim is 2. Yomim, the minimum of plural days, is 2. And Rabim connotes 3, because it connotes more than 2. Many days. So 15 plus 30. Plus 15, plus 2, plus 3, equals 50. And that's 50 days till we get the Torah. But Rashi doesn't stop there. I'm sorry, I added an extra 15. You start on the 15th of Nisan. So it's 30 plus 15 plus 2 plus 3, and you have 50. But Rashi doesn't stop there. Rashi says, why is it broken down like this? Why would you take the 50 days and break it down into pieces like this? So Rashi says, because on the 15th of Nisan, that's when we left Mitzrayim, 30 days later is when the man came down on the 15th day of Iyar. 15 days after that was Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when we came to Har Sinai. And then 5 days later was the 6th of Sivan, when we got the Torah. So that's why it's broken down to 30, 15, and then 5 more, Yom and Rabin with the other five days until we got the Torah. And so this pasuk, these two pasukim, are the days from the time we got out of Mitzrayim until we got the Torah, broken down into specific pieces, not just the 50 days, but breaking that down into 30, 15, and 5. It's an interesting breakdown, because when we count the Omer, you don't hear anybody speaking about 30 or 15 or 5. You hear people speaking about Lag BaOmer, 33, breaking it down by parts of 33 and 17, that we have that. You break it down by weeks, 7 weeks, which the Torah says to do, 49 days, but you don't find breaking it down in this manner. So it's an interesting thing to bear in mind for next Sfiras HaOmer, that there you can also break it down by 30, 15, and 5. 30 days from Pesach until the man, right? And then 15 days until Rosh Chodesh, when we came to Har Sinai, and then 5 days later when we got the Torah. Now, the pasuk then says that because many days the Jews will be without all of these things. So here Rashi explains that what Hashem is telling Hoshea to tell us is that we have to bear in mind that we've not been behaving properly, and therefore we should do teshuva. If we, God forbid, don't do teshuva, then this is what would happen. The Jews are going to end up in Golus, and in Golus they will lose everything. They'll lose all the good, and also they'll lose the opportunity for all the bad. This is similar to what was said in the last perek, that one of the things Hashem does in Galus is He limits us. Now, we, Baruch Hashem, don't experience that where we have today. We're not as limited as previous generations. But remember that we are very unusual in this Galus, where we are right now. But that this Galus really has been characterized by Jews being very much limited in what we were able to do, limited in where we were able to go, limited in how we were able to have parnasa, very, very limited. Many, many times that we were hemmed in and unable to do what we would otherwise wanted to do. So this is part of the punishment, because it is saying that if you don't use the good when Hashem gives it to us, and we instead look for the bad, God forbid, then Hashem puts us in a situation where neither is available. The good isn't available, but we also can't get our hands on the bad. Here in the Galus we're in now, as we've already explained last time as well, we are in it's completely different. Here, one does have the opportunity to get their hands on all the bad. So this is an unusual thing. We talked about last time how this would be the final tikkun before the coming of Mashiach. Then it says in Pasuk Hey that after all this, we Jews will return and we will have Hashem as our God and David as our king, and we will serve Hashem. The Targum says, just a very interesting thing, he says, let me find the right thing, yes, the Targum Yonasan says in the first Pasuk of this chapter, where he says that Hoshea was told to say this prophecy to the Jewish people, that we are similar to a woman who is loved by her husband, but this woman is unfaithful. And but so let me read to you. I'll read to you as he says. It's Aramaic, so it's going to be a little bit. The words are not so simple, but let me read it to you. Vamar Hashem li od. Hashem said to me further. Ezel Isnabei nivua al beis Yisrael. Go and prophesy on the Jewish people. Diinun daman leitasa derechima al baila. They are similar to a woman who is beloved to her husband. Umizanya alohi, but she is unfaithful to him. V'chol kedin rachim la, but still he loves her, even though she is unfaithful. V'lot savi lemiftira, he doesn't want to send her away. Ki rechimas Hashem al bnei Yisrael, so too Hashem loves the Jewish people. V'inun mispanan basa ravas amamaya, yet they are going after tavas amamaya, after the abominations of the non-Jews. Baram, however, im yusuvun, if they do tshuva, yishtivek lahon, it will be forgiven for them if we do tshuva. V'yahon daman ligvar di'ishtelei v'amamila b'chavrei. We will be similar to a person who ishtelei means stumbled, and said a word against his friend. Meaning that you can have good friends. You have two people who are very good friends, and they get along well. And one of them says something not nice to the other one. So if they're good friends, so they may have a period of time where they're upset at each other. The one who was hurt, the one who the words were said not nicely to that person, they're hurt for a little bit. But because they're good friends, and nothing worse was done other than a not nice exchange, there was no physical harm, there was no monetary harm, it was just that they had some words with each other. So we know that happens. We've all had that experience where someone who's a good friend of ours, and we've had some a negative word here or there. And then what happens? After a period of time, they get together, they work out their mistake or whatever happened, and they get back together again. So Hashem says, if you do tshuva, everything you've done wrong will be no worse than that scenario. It won't be, I won't treat it like you were unfaithful to me. I won't treat it like you went to some other, like a man whose wife would go to some other man, God forbid. I won't treat it like you rebelled against me. I won't treat it like you rejected me. I'll treat it like we had some negative exchange and we got over it, and now we're back together again. That's what will happen if you do tshuva. I'll be able to just gloss over it if you do tshuva. So that's what the Navi tells the Jewish people. So this is the approach for this parak. But because we now have Hoshea having really from the beginning of Hosea, for the first three prakim, we have found that Hosea specifically is told to use the analogy of adultery within admonishing the Jewish people, both in his being told to marry a woman who is unfaithful, and then here where you have the analogy of a woman who is unfaithful. So it is worthwhile for us to talk a little bit about this Avera of Znus, of adultery, and understand it in the context of what's going on here in Hosea. So we're going to digress now for a few minutes and discuss that Avera specifically. We'll actually discuss a little more than that and then zero in on that Avera and then show what it is that Hosea is specifically being told to. Let me pause now for any questions on what we've done thus far before we move into this next phase of this shiur.
Why did he bring up about the drink?
Good. So the drink... We're actually going to talk about that here, just as I was about to take a drink of water. We're going to talk about that actually right now. The drinking of wine over here, or goblets of wine, represents going after the desires of this world.
It's interesting. The translation in my book says cakes of raisins.
Okay. There is another. You can. Anavi means grapes. It could mean dried grapes, which are raisins, and ashishe, it can mean right let's see if anybody else translates. Let me just see over here 1 second. That translation of goblets is the translation of 1 minute. That's what the Mitzvot Sion says. He says kosos, cups. And he says anavi means wine. But cakes of raisins. Let me just see over here quickly. I don't see off right of him, but I'm sure that, you know, there's different ways of reading it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we know that there are three averos, three sins for which we Jews are expected to give up our lives. And they are
adultery.
Idolatry
or
murder. Okay, so idolatry, murder. Now the third one is not adultery. Adultery is one of, it's a subcategory of the third one. The third one is really gilui arayas, which includes all of the illicit relationships. So it includes incest, it includes adultery, and it includes things which may not fall specifically under those two categories. I mean, it depends how you define incest in different legal terms for the word incest. But it certainly includes those things. So all of that is included in Gilui Arayas. So it's an inappropriate physical relationship would be Gilui Arayas. It includes homosexuality, that's also part of it. So all of that is included in Gilui Arayas. So those are the three. Now, we also know that we have, the Mishnah tells us that there are three things that take a person out of this world, that they remove a person from this world, three behaviors that take a person out of this world, three things that people focus on that take them out of this world. And they are... Okay, kina, which is jealousy, taiva, which is desire, and kavod, which is pride or honor. Okay, now, if you think about it, these things line up with each other. We'll put them on the board. So we have, first, we have avodah zara, so we'll call that idolatry. Let's see if this one is better. Okay, so we have idolatry, we have murder, and then we have, it's a good way to write this. Yeah.
Relationship.
Okay. We'll call them relationships. We'll just put relationships. Okay, fine. Those are your three. Now they line up with kina, jealousy, taiva, desire, and kavod and pride or honor. So what do you think lines up with what?
Pride or honor lines up with idolatry.
Pride or honor lines up with idolatry. Okay, why would you say that?
You put something instead of God.
Okay. All right.
The relations are desire.
Okay, so this is for sure desire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Murder.
Murder would be jealousy. Jealousy.
Yeah, that's easy.
Is that spelled right?
Yeah.
Okay. And idolatry is going to be pride or honor. See, desire, taiva, represents all of the desires of this world, of which Gilei Arayis is represented by that inclination. Jealousy is murder because murder is done typically. It's when there is rivalry. There's rivalry between people. That's what leads to murder. Rivalry could be for different reasons, but that's represented by jealousy, which murder is the worst permutation of jealousy, where it leads to that. Pride and honor and idolatry is because the pride and honor is a person directly rejecting Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
The Gemara tells us a bal gaiva, someone who is prideful, Hashem says, there's no room in the world for him and me. Mm-hmm. We can't coexist.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone who is prideful, it says he's docher raglei hashchina. It's like cutting out the legs, so to speak, of Hashem's divine presence, of the Shekhinah. It's like saying that I'm the focus of my existence rather than Hashem being the focus of my existence. Therefore, it's represented as idolatry being the rejection of Hashem. Now, we also have three things that a person is supposed to focus on in this world, that are the things that we are, that are the three things that the world stands on, and they are Torah, Avoda, and Gemilus Chasadim. So Torah, Avoda is service, and then Gemilus Chasadim, which is
kindness.
Okay, so now this is a little bit more complicated. What would you put where? How would you put where?
You mean to undo one of these things?
Right.
Well, those chassidim, I would say, would be as opposed to jealousy.
So it's not so simple, right? Okay, let's start with the word avoda. Where would you put avoda? This is avoda zara, right? Which is strange avoda. So avoda, which is service, would go here. We'd call this avoda. I'm gonna have a lot of words here. So avoda, which is service. Who represents avoda? Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov?
Yitzchak.
Okay, this is Yitzchak. Okay, good. Now we're left with chesed, kindness, and Torah. So what would you put where? The Torah uses the word chesed to mean kindness. And the Torah uses the word chesed to mean
relationships.
Yes. Chesed, it also means cherpa. Cherpa means shame, and it is used in regard to incest. With a sister specifically. Chesed, kindness, is aligned with Gilei Arayis, with desire. And who is this? Avram Yaakov?
Uh-huh.
So this is Abraham. Okay. Which leaves Torah here. And that's, of course, Yaakov. Okay. So Torah with murder and jealousy is a little bit more difficult to align. However, we do find, for example, all jealousy is considered to be inappropriate. It's considered to be bad for a person, except for kinas, sofrim, tarbeh chachma. The jealousy between sofrim here means Torah scholars, increases wisdom. Jealousy used properly is used for Torah. The Torah here is the way that a person becomes shalem, becomes complete. And the Torah, therefore, is the reverse of, here you're taking, murder is taking a person out of the world. It is a lack of respect for life. It is saying that this life is not as important as me. My rivalry, I am more important than this life that I am taking out of this world. And the Torah is just the opposite. It is building up of the person and building up of people in general, and saying that the reason why the world was created was so that people, man, can perfect themselves and perfect the world with it. This paradigm, the way you work it out, the way I've worked it out over here, there are different approaches, and this is not the only way to do it, but this is certainly an acceptable way of setting it up. When the chesed, which is kindness, is a good thing. We know chesed is a good thing. But we also know there's such a thing as too much chesed. A person can do chesed when it's not appropriate, where it's beyond what should be. We know, of course, if a person does chesed to the point where they negate themselves, that's not necessarily good. But chesed can also be done when it's not appropriate. We know that chesed, when is giving of oneself. One cannot claim chesed if one is not giving up something. If there is something which is zeh nehneh v'zeh lo chaser, this one benefits, the other one doesn't lose. So if I'm going someplace anyway, and you need to go the same way, and I give you a ride, it is considered a chesed, because the fact of the matter is, you have someone else in your vehicle, it is something. But we all understand that that's far less of a chesed than if I wasn't going there and I took you there. That would be a greater chesed. The more you give up, the greater the chesed is. So chesed is giving of oneself to somebody else, giving up of oneself to somebody else. That can go awry when one is not supposed to give of oneself to somebody else. And that's when you have Gilui Arayos. Gilui Arayos is a situation where a person is giving of themselves to another, but shouldn't be. And we know that tznius, modesty, dictates a certain limitation on chesed. For example, on Purim, we know that it's a good thing to give shalach manos. Shalach manos is a good thing. Shalach manos creates a closeness and friendship between people. But a man is not supposed to give shalach manos to a woman, and a woman is not supposed to give shalach manos to a man. That they're not related to each other. Because there is no mitzvah in creating a bond of closeness and friendship and love between a man and a woman who are not related to each other. So that's a limitation. There is a limitation on the chesed over there, which is demanded by tznius. We know that the reason why the men of Ammon and Moab are precluded from joining the Jewish people, cannot marry a regular Jewish woman, is because al davar shelo kidmo eschem balechem uvamayim, because they did not bring bread and water out to you in Mitzrayim, when we left Mitzrayim. They should have brought bread and water, they did not, therefore they are excluded. But we know that the women are not excluded, they are included. That's why Ruth was permitted to marry Boaz, because the women are included. But the women being included was really a debate. We know that Doeg HaAdomi wanted to argue that David HaMelech was illegitimate because Rus was really not permitted to marry. And his argument was that even though it's true that there was no expectation that the women of Ammon and Moab bring bread and water out to the men of the Jewish people, because that would have been inappropriate, but the women should have brought bread and water out to the women of the Jewish people. And because they didn't, then they should also be precluded from joining the Jewish people. They also have a lack of chesed and a lack of hakaras hatov to the Jewish people. That was his argument. But his argument was wrong. And the women were not excluded because the women were not expected to bring bread and water out even to the women. They weren't expected to bring bread and water even to the women. Why not? The Gemara asks. And the Gemara answers, because kol kvuda bas melech penima, because the kavod of a woman is internal, that there is the importance of tznius, of modesty, and therefore the women who stayed out of the open area and stayed away and did not come out into the place where everybody could see them and out in the open, and even though they would have been doing it to bring bread and water to the women, it was better that they not do that, that they remain where they were. And that was, therefore, it's not held against them that they didn't bring bread and water. But the Gemara says more than that. The Gemara says, we have an example of this from our mother. Which mother?
Sarah.
From Sarah Imenu. Because in this week's Parsha, we're going to read in a few days, it says, Aye Sarah Ishtecha, where is Sarah your wife? Vayomer Hineva Oel. She's in the tent. She's not out in the open. And the Gemara brings that as an example where Sarah Imenu, even though she was, it was her domain, it's her house, but she remained behind the tent and she did not show herself at all. So that was an example of tznius, which was a limitation on chesed. Tznius and chesed, those two elements often collide, and then the question is, how much of each thing to emphasize? Does one emphasize the tznius? Does one emphasize the chesed? There are a myriad variables that can affect that decision depending on the particular situation. But it is a struggle, particularly for a woman, of when to emphasize the chesed, when to emphasize the tznius. It's difficult to do both at the same time. The chesed to be done behind the scenes would be chesed with tznius, but it's difficult because very often the chesed pushes a person out into the open, and the tznius demands not to be out in the open. This is a conceptual issue, but it's something that is a struggle. So when chesed is done, when it shouldn't be done, it is no longer a chesed, but it is a cherpa, which is the other translation of the word chesed. It is shameful. And that's why you have chesed lined up with gilui arayos, with taiva, with gilui arayos. Within inappropriate relationships, Hosea is asked to focus specifically on adultery, on znus, on adultery. Why adultery? What is it about adultery that makes it the analogy of choice? Gilui arayos is, as we said, chesed gone in its direction it shouldn't go. That's what gilui arayos is. Znus, adultery, niuf is the word for adultery in the lo sinaf, in the aseret hadibros, don't have, I'll put it down, niuf, Hebrew, niuf, or in the aseret hadibros, lo sinaf, do not commit adultery. So niuf is a form of gilui arayos that actually incorporates much more than just gilui arayos. The difference between niuf and, let's say, incest is that niuf, besides being gilui arayos, also has within it an element of being unfaithful. If a brother and a sister have a physical relationship, which is absolutely prohibited, and that is incest, it is gilui arayos. But no one's being unfaithful to anybody. They could be single, both of them. There's nothing, it's prohibited, It's usur, but there's no lack of faith to somebody else. But when a married woman has a relationship with a different man, besides the gilui arayos, there's also the being unfaithful. Therefore, gniuv specifically is not only a form of gilui arayos, it's also a form of idolatry, because idolatry is being unfaithful, as we see here in the Navi. It's leaving Hashem and going to some other form of worship. It is a rejection of one in favor of the other. Again, when there's incest, it's not a rejection of somebody else. It's just inappropriate. But adultery is rejecting one and going to another. Therefore, it is also analogous to Avodah Zarah. That's from the woman's perspective of niuf, of adultery. From the man's perspective in adultery, the man who is committing the Avera, the man to whom the married woman went, there is the element there not only of gilui arayos, but also of gezel, of theft. He's taking something that rightfully belongs to somebody else. The man is therefore taking away something from somebody else. Therefore, it is akin to ritzicha, to murder. Murder is the taking away of the ultimate thing that belongs to somebody else, which is their life. That's the greatest thing a person can take from somebody else. But taking somebody's wife away from that person, that is a form of theft, a form of murder. Therefore, niuf, of all of the gilui arayos, has elements of all three of the worst behaviors a person has, and therefore all three of the things that take a person out of this world. There is obviously the desire, there is the jealousy part of it, which is where a man is taking something that belongs to somebody else, and there's the pride or honor part of it, which is the rejection of one in favor of another or in favor of myself. In rejection of Hashem in favor of me, rejection of my husband in favor of this person, that is, the niuf incorporates all of the above. So when you talk about gilui arayos, when people say that the three worst sins, the ones we have to give our lives up for, is idolatry, murder, and adultery, it's cumbersome, the last one, gilui arayos. But adultery really, which is one of the gilui arayos, but it really incorporates all of them. It's just hard to think of one word that will include all of gilui arayos, so people just say adultery. But it includes incest and all the other types of inappropriate physical relationships. So when Hashem tells Hosea to use this mashal, to use the mashal of not gilui arayos in general, but the mashal of niuf, of znus, of adultery specifically, it's because we Jews were rejecting the Torah, rejecting Hashem in many ways. It wasn't one element, just going and serving other gods. It was a general rejection of the way we were supposed to behave. We were involved in kina, in jealousy, in taiva, in desire, and in kavod, and in pride. And the Gemara tells us that the first Beis HaMikdash, which is where Hosea was prophesying, remember Hosea was in the first Beis HaMikdash, so Hosea, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three big averos: Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichus Damim. These are the three that destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asks the question, the second Beis HaMikdash, where we weren't involved in these three things, certainly not on a mass scale, why was it destroyed? And we all know the answer to that is Sinas Chinam, is baseless hatred. But the first Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, was destroyed because of the three big averos. And adultery specifically is a mashal that incorporates all three. That's why Hosea is asked to use this mashal, both in terms of the way he speaks to the Jewish people, that he uses this mashal, and also in actual practice, as we find many times the Navi is expected to act out the symbolism of what he's supposed to tell the Jewish people. We had that in Yechezkel many times. And here, Hosea is told, at least in the first parak, to act out as well the symbolism of the Jewish people. Here, as we said, it's not literal, it is only the way he's speaking to them, but you do find this mashal as the mashal of choice that Hashem uses for the Jews in the first Beis Hamikdash. Any questions?
So when he's talking to the Jewish people, are they believing him more because they know that he's married this woman who was unfaithful to him, like because they
couldn't
feel
be.
Like he feels it deeper?
It could be. A lot. We find many times that the Navi is supposed to do things. For instance, Yechezkel, when he was talking about the fact that Yehuda and Ephraim will come back together, the southern kingdom, northern kingdom. So we had it's the Haftarah. Later on, we'll have it soon. That he takes two branches and he puts them together; they become one branch. So that shows it's a physical act that shows what's going to happen in his nevuah. So there are many times where Hashem tells Nevi'im to do that. Now that one is a positive one. Yechezkel's had some negative ones. He had tragedy. His wife died. There were things that happened over there that were meant to bring out what was going to happen to the Jewish people. So here, Hosea also. So I think you're right. I think it's just the visual. You see it in front of your eyes. It's not just the words, but you're actually seeing it played out. And I think that makes people.
And it also ties in with that we got married, right, with the chuppah and the Torah,
mm-hmm.
Har Sinai.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely, right. That's correct. Yeah. Okay. So that was a short parak, but...
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.